So grow. To grow the Roar Rangers ministry in your district simply means to grow the number of churches using Roar Rangers. Currently, the churches eligible to use Roar Rangers are Assemblies of God churches, all PCCNA-affiliated churches. PCCNA stands for Pentecostal Charismatic Churches of North America. And so all the churches affiliated with that, there are actually organizations that aren't even churches affiliated with it, but they're not going to run Roar Rangers. Like Regent University is affiliated with PCCNA, but they're not going to run Roar Rangers at Regent University in all likelihood. But the church organizations, of which the Assemblies of God is one, associate with this organization. And there are 39 Pentecostal groups, including Church of God and International Pentecostal Holiness and many others that associate with the Pentecostal Charismatic Churches of North America. They're all eligible to use Roar Rangers. But of course, we have a deeper relationship with the International Pentecostal Churches. They've been using Roar Rangers for 27 years and doing so very effectively. And we're very honored that they're using the Roar Rangers ministry. In fact, David Moore is here somewhere. David, why don't you stand to your feet? We'd love to welcome you. David, thank you for being here. David is a great friend to me personally, and I highly admire him. And his spirit is contagious. And I just love the guy. So thank you, David, for being with us. It's an honor to have him here. We also have the same kind of relationship now with the Church of God. James Overton is their denominational director, and he could not be with us this week because he's involved in another event. But they're doing a great job advancing the Roar Rangers ministry among the Church of God churches. We will be talking more with the district directors tomorrow about how to relate with those churches in your districts. And so if you have questions about that, district directors, we will cover that tomorrow. But growing, this is kind of our pool. That we can grow in unlimited amounts, the AG and the PCCNA affiliated churches. But then, of course, there's a lot of independent or mainline denominations churches that often will apply to use Roar Rangers, and there's a process in place whereby they request the geographic AG district where they're located, and they're able to request the opportunity to use Roar Rangers, and some of them are approved and some are not. But that's our pool, and there are well over. It's easy to say there's well over 25,000 churches that are in that pool. In fact, that's a conservative number. And so there is growth potential, particularly if we have somewhere around 2,500 Roar Rangers outposts and perhaps more in the United States. There is certainly growth potential. And that is our task as we move forward, is to get every last one of them using Roar Rangers. So the key to getting entry into those churches is to begin building relationships. And that's really the key. If you want to see Roar Rangers grow in the AG churches, if you want to see it grow in these PCCNA-affiliated churches, it's building relationships with pastors. Yes, there are resources. Yes, there are things that we'll use to help you in that. And certainly, you know, this is a key responsibility of the outreach coordinator. And incidentally, the outreach coordinators will have their own breakaway session tomorrow afternoon, and we will be delving into your role in a separate session. In past years, we've had the district directors and the outreach coordinators meeting combined. This year, it's separate, so we'll be meeting with the district directors alone, and the outreach coordinators will be meeting on their own, and we will be providing a job description this Saturday morning as well for all of the positions, including the outreach coordinator. And so that will line out a whole lot better the roles that we expect everyone to fulfill in this grow, develop, relate set of priorities. But relationship is not something that belongs only to the outreach coordinator. How many of you have relationships with pastors? Okay, every one of you do. So we all have the opportunity to build those relationships. You don't have to be the outreach coordinator to gain entrance into a conversation with a pastor and convince him to start Roar Rangers. I'd like to introduce Brian Rosignol, and he is the training coordinator in Wyoming. And not the outreach coordinator, but the training coordinator, and he has been able to create a lot of relationships with some pastors in the district and seen Roar Rangers grow. So, Brian, good to have you here. Tell us what's up.
All right. Well, just kind of tell you my story. I'm a product of Roar Rangers. I am a New York GMA, and But I'm also the Tennessee District Ranger of the Year about 10 years ago. I was a part of their district as well. And so it's exciting to have been a part of this program as a boy. When I came to Wyoming as a youth pastor, working in youth ministry. And my pastor had asked me if I was interested in starting a Royal Ranger group in his church. He was the men's director of our district, and he wanted to see the Ranger ministry grow. And I saw his passion for Royal Rangers, and I had passion for it too. And so we started our group in a small town in Douglas, Wyoming, a town of 6,000 people, and a church of about 80 people. And we actually had, we brought a trainer out from Oregon. And Bob Killen, he did just such an awesome job, and he came in my small little Honda, and he came and he trained our Royal Ranger Outpost. But from there, we were able to grow a children's ministry, not just with Royal Rangers, but also with our girls' ministry, to about 75 kids on an average Wednesday night. And that caught the attention of our district, because when I came to Wyoming, there were only maybe 3 Royal Ranger Outposts, and one of them was working, and the other two were not. And so this really opened the eyes, and of course it opened a lot of dialogue with pastors. And so, of course, I started talking to pastors. And see, I understand as a pastor, you know, I think about my church probably about 100 times a day, and the last thing I think about is Royal Rangers. And so there's so many other things that's on a pastor's mind, and so I focus on some of those things. I focus on, you know, how are they doing? They're thinking about what they're going to preach about this Sunday, or they're thinking about, you know, how can they recruit leaders and pull them in and build relationships. And so that's where, you know, I open up and I'm able to give them practical advice of things that I've tried, things that I've done in the past, and, you know, experiences that I have had, not only as a boy, but as a Royal Ranger leader that has kind of lighted their way. And that is really open the door. And also, I sell the mission of Royal Rangers, too. You know, I had the opportunity to do a breakout session at a men's retreat a couple years ago, and instead of sitting down talking about Royal Rangers, I actually sat down and I introduced 5 men that had an impact on my life, 2 of them being Ranger leaders, but others just emphasizing the point of, hey, we need to be mentoring the next generation of boys. And I believe pastors, see, they're not as much about a program as they are really about the mission. And if we could sell the mission, if pastors can catch hold of that, they're going to open up to it. And so I just want to just say that to encourage you. And of course, for me, it seems a little easier just because I am a pastor. But I also see all of these pastors in my district. We are, as Assembly of God District, we're only 40 churches. And our state is only about 500,000 people. But what I have learned is that these pastors aren't a means to an end. They're my friends. They're my colleagues. When I have troubles and I have problems and I'm dealing with stuff in my church, these are the guys I talk to. And so we have to open ourselves up to our pastors and just let them know that we love them and understand that it's more important for us to grow their church than to plant a Royal Ranger outpost in it. So,
excellent. So, Brian, you made a statement that I think is great. We've always said that when you're recruiting leaders, you recruit to vision. And how many of you know that's true? I mean, if you say we need people to change diapers, you have no one sign up for that. But as soon as you say we want you to invest in kids, these are the precious ones, and you show, you know, pictures of cute kids, people are lining up. And then you drop the bomb, so to speak. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is part of it. So if you recruit to task, you will get a low response. But if you recruit to vision, you will get a better response. And you're saying that that's been your experience, too, in terms of recruiting churches to start Royal Rangers. You recruit by speaking to vision. Amplify that.
Right. And I would say one of the biggest things that I've come across, especially dealing with pastors, is most pastors, especially in the Assemblies of God, they have history with Royal Rangers somewhere along the way. If the average pastor is in an Assembly of God church for 9 years and they pastor for 40 years, they're going to be in a lot of different places. So they're going to have different experiences with the Royal Ranger ministry. So I don't always approach them with the Royal Ranger ministry. I approach them with the mission, which is mentoring boys. And that has really helped me just open up, because I know some pastors, if they see me in a Royal Ranger uniform, they see me approaching them, they go the other way. You know, they don't want to deal with the ministry of Royal Rangers or maybe even the history, but they are open to the mission. And I can tell you 100% pastors, you can go in front of a men's retreat, or you can go to a district council and say, how many of you pastors want to see more boys in your church? And I guarantee you 100% of them will raise their hand. But if you say, how many of you pastors would like more Royal Ranger outposts? you know, you might get a mixed review. And so that's kind of what I've been finding, is that as I talk to pastors, they're not as much concerned about putting a new program in their church. They're more concerned about seeing more boys in their church.
And that's probably true, even if you were to walk into a group of pastors that had no history with Rangers. It's probably a good idea to start by selling vision as well. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you talk about Royal Rangers or the program, then they're wondering what you're peddling. But if you're peddling vision and mission, thus the importance of us going back to saying, hey, let's stop the mission drift and get very focused back on our mission and purpose. And if we sell that, then I think it's easier to sell the program. But we sell them, we hook them on the thing they're really interested in, which is seeing people come to Christ, develop in their faith, become lifelong servant leaders. Amen?
Mm-hmm. And I also put a lot of my success stories in front of them. We have so many young men who have grown up and they're doing amazing things out there in the world. And so, you know, reminding them, we have one gold medalist in our state named John Shalion. He's a pastor of a large church in Montana. And he's one of our four GMAs. We only have four GMAs in the history of our district, but he's one of them. And, you know, everybody in our district, they know who he is. They know what he's done. They know what he's accomplished. But some don't know that he was a Roy Ranger. And so, you know, same thing with me. When I talk to pastors, they say, I'm here because of Roy Rangers. If I'm doing anything successful, it's because of Jesus first. But it's also because Roy Rangers has influenced my life, and I had men that moved in my life and influenced me as well. So
it's excellent. Great. So lead with vision, build relationships, and tell the winds.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, if you recognize Brian, his picture is all over the leader manual, so you may want him to autograph your leader manual as well. So thank you, Brian. Give him a big round of applause. And hey, by the way, so you said you had three outposts a few years ago. How many of you and your team built
now? We have nine outposts today. So we had three, and now we have nine. And I have at least three more that are interested, three or four more churches that have expressed interest. So I'm actually going to be training one of those churches in the next month. So, and yeah, it's good.
And Brian, are you still planning to plant a church?
Yes.
In the years ahead, so mm-hmm. There'll be another one coming down the pike too. So
yeah, absolutely. And I did want to give a shout out to the Southern Missouri District. I've been a part of them too, so I can't say that I haven't been a part of them. So it's awesome. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. Let's give him another round of applause. So as we move forward, we all need to be building these relationships, and I think the experience in those few moments that Brian has shared speaks loudly. Lead with vision, lead with mission, lead with the win. Let the caboose be the program, and listen to the church. What's their need? How can we help you mentor future men? And wherever they land on that program platform continuum as they're talking, that's exactly what we're all about, is helping them define where they need to land and facilitating that vision that they have. Amen? Excellent. So as we move forward, we're all involved in this. Everyone's responsible for growth. And yet the outreach coordinator and the team that is part of that needs to be the right team. The outreach coordinator needs to be someone who can build those relationships or already has those relationships, already has those inroads with pastors. So that is critical. So who the outreach coordinator is very, very important. But it's not a one-man show. He's going to have to pull together a team. And certainly, that team doesn't have to be comprised of just Ranger leaders. It can be Ranger leaders and non-Ranger leaders. What about the pastor that's now a gold medalist and very respected in the district? He's not personally involved in Royal Rangers anymore, but he can certainly be a mouthpiece. And so make him part of your team. Maybe he's not going to attend all your meetings, but recruit him to champion Royal Rangers, because he is going to be in places and influence people that you don't have the opportunity to be with. So the point here I hope that you can get is that the outreach coordinator is very important, and having a good team that's part of your grow team, if you will, is also very, very important. But I hope you'll also get that every one of us have the opportunity to build those relationships. So as we talk about grow, and in the few minutes that we have left, I think we need to look at grow and this priority through three lenses. First is the lens of establishing new outposts. Obviously, this is an area of growth. We have to establish more outposts. And for that, last year we presented resources that you could use.
When you're presenting to churches, there's videos, there's PowerPoints, there's a whole bunch of material. So I'm going to invite Ben Picton, our communications coordinator, to come and just review with us the resources that are available to you and how to use them, because they're not all intended to be used the same way. So Ben, thank you for all your work on this. That's right, let's make him feel welcome. What do we have?
All right, first off, we got this Roar Rangers 2.0 trifold. All of you guys have these in your binder. I don't know where. It's probably a thick section. It doesn't turn very well.
Section four.
All right, this brochure is intended for adults. So basically parents, potential leaders. This is good for handing out at the church congregation on Sunday morning. This kind of goes into the basics of what Roar Rangers is, why every church needs it. On the back, it's got a little, like, learn more about us and a place for the local outposts to put their information. So that's the first piece. Next, we got this the 2.0 square brochure. This goes in a little more detail about who Rangers is, who we are, why the church needs it, why they need a mentor, future men. And this also goes into some of the recent changes we've made, which makes Rangers more effective, flexible, interconnected for churches. So this is for church leaders and pastors. This is good to hand out at district or regional events. Next, we've got the big boy, the 2.0 launch kit. This is for anyone who's serious about starting a Rail Ranger outpost. This goes through kind of the same thing, who we are, why everybody needs to mentor future men, and this goes into the details of how you start an outpost and then how to keep the momentum going with that outpost. And the final piece we have is the 2.0 CD. This is for you all or anyone else using these three resources. This has the 2.0 PowerPoint, so you make presentations on all these pieces. It also has the videos for targeted towards boys, parents, potential leaders, church leaders. So.
Excellent. So there's also a PowerPoint on there, you said?
Yep.
So that PowerPoint, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much reflects this.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So this might be a great way, if you have an opportunity to spend a few minutes with pastors at a meeting, use that PowerPoint, give them a copy of this, be a great way to connect with a group of pastors. Or even if you have an iPad, you could slide through with your iPad in that presentation and then leave this as a follow-up. Number of ways you can use it, but excellent resources. Yep. Anything we want to add to that?
You can buy these online, the Ranger Superstore. That's about it.
Very good. So these are resources to help you get the word out. And so again, lead with the vision, and then these are the resources that you can use. Thank you, Ben. Yep. Give him a big round of applause. So again, the first lens through which we need to see this grow priority is establishing Roar Rangers in churches that don't currently have it. Second is to strengthen the churches that do have Roar Rangers. After all, if you have 50 Roar Ranger outposts in your district, or 25 or 100, and none of them are doing Rangers 2.0, and none of them are bearing the fruit of 2.0, then they're not going to be your advocates. And so my challenge to you would be to begin a process of assessing where your churches are in this migration to Roar Rangers 2.0. And in the materials that we covered this morning, there's actually some resources to help you in that assessment process. And so we won't go through that now because you can read it later, and we certainly don't want to be accused of reading material to you that you can read on your own. So do read that. Do learn it, but I would spend time assessing the progress of churches toward 2.0, because if your churches are adopting 2.0, I can assure you the churches that are doing so are more energetic now, they're more excited, the church leaders are more supportive, and that energy is something that's going to be contagious. And what a better way to tell your churches or your pastors in your district that, hey, if you want to start Roar Rangers, why don't you just go look? Here's a great church that's seeing the fruit of Roar Rangers 2.0 to come to bear in their own church, and it's working. And those pastors will start talking. So, hey, as we talk about grow, we need to look at it through the prism of how do we help our existing outposts grow and in their strength and move into Rangers 2.0. And I would just encourage you, when you meet with your existing outpost leaders, help them understand that their migration to 2.0 and fully embracing it is absolutely going to cause the whole district to grow, because it will. And so I would encourage you to absolutely do that. The third prism through which we need to view our grow responsibility, besides the establishing new outposts and strengthening the ones that do have Roll Rangers, is to serve all of the churches in the district. We are not about establishing and growing Roll Rangers alone. We're about serving every eligible church, with or without Roll Rangers. And so later this afternoon, we'll talk about taking your events and rebranding them so that they're the ultimate event for guys and not the ultimate event just for Roll Ranger people. And so let's serve all of our churches. And if the church wants to mentor boys in a different way, champion that too. We are all about growing the kingdom of God. Amen? And so how can you serve the churches in your district and help them all gain a vision for mentoring future men? Let's serve all of the churches and do that well. So that's the prism I think we need to view our growth priorities through. The prism of establishing new outposts, strengthening the ones that do have Roll Rangers and help them in that journey to 2.0, and serving all of our churches so that they gain a vision for the Roll Rangers ministry. Whether they have Rangers or don't, and even if they don't have any intentions of starting Roll Rangers, we will serve them anyway. So I believe that as we move forward, we're positioned for growth. I really believe that. I believe that for a number of reasons. The first reason I believe that Roll Rangers is positioned for growth is the fact that we have paid the price. If we're going to see Roll Rangers grow in the future, then we've got to continue to pay that price. We've gone through the assessment process. We've taken a good look at ourselves. I like to use the imagery of a car. We had a car. It was built in 1962. Today it's a classic, but we needed to upgrade. So we rebuilt the engine, and I mean, we rebuilt it well. We took all of the features on the dash. It had an 8-track in it. We pulled that out, and now there's hookups for an iPod, and I mean, we changed all the features on the dash. It's beautiful. So we rebuilt the engine and changed all the features. That's number one. Number two, we've begun to re-educate the drivers. That's why we transitioned from the LMA over to the OLAL, part of the driver re-education program. That's why we're doing LEAD every year. That's why we're doing the EI, so that we begin to drive differently. We begin to lead differently. And the next and final thing that we're doing, and we will continue to do for many years, is give it a new paint job so that it shines. People buy cars based on the paint job, don't they? Absolutely we do. I've regretted that many times. But that's why we didn't want to just start with the paint job. We wanted some substance. When the pastor gets into a ministry that's been given a nice paint job and a good marketing campaign and realizes it still sputters, then he's not going to believe the marketing campaign. So we said, let's go straight for the guts of the thing, the engine. Let's get that changed. Let's begin to challenge our leaders to get focused on mission again, and let's move into the direction that the Lord is leading us, taking us to places and to heights we've never been before. Let's do that, and now we'll work on the paint job, and that will gain us credibility. So, guys, I want to thank you for taking this journey, sticking with it, encouraging your local leaders to make the transitions from merits that had one color border to frustrations with, oh, I thought it was this color and now it's this color. How many of you relate? The transition from paper to online delivery, new handbooks, we understand the frustrations, but it's all worth it. It's worth it because we're now headed in the direction the Lord wants us to go. Amen? And when we follow the Lord, we can be sure He's going to honor our obedience. So I believe we're positioned for growth because we have prepared for it. Second, I believe that we're positioned for growth because we have strong support from our executive leadership of the Assemblies of God. Dr. Wood's vision is to skillfully resource our churches to effectively mentor future men. This is part of their vision. And so they believe in us, and they believe in our mission, and so we can go for it. We have support from the top. We're not running on our own. We're part of the big overall vision for our movement and for our nation. How many say amen to that? We have growth potential I believe because I think there's a growing knowledge of the need to mentor future men. You can talk to children's pastors and youth pastors, and there is a, you know, they don't know how to articulate it yet, but they understand there is a crisis of manhood, and they understand the right time to address it is while these young men are boys. I believe that we're positioned for growth because of the many denominations eligible, Pentecostal denominations eligible to use Rural Rangers, and those that are inquiring, in addition to the IPHC and the COG, to using Rural Rangers and making it their mentoring ministry. We are positioned for growth. We're positioned for growth as well because of a looming decision from the Boy Scouts of America. I want you to watch this video from Dr. Wood, and we'll close with this. Roll the video.
Amen. Could I add one PS and then Saul come? It was in my notes and I failed to mention it. I'm getting all kinds of emails this morning on my statement on the Boy Scouts of America and a statement on the Boy Scouts of America that are now letting individual, will consider letting individual chapters have homosexual leaders. I couldn't say this probably in the news release, but what I can say to you is, you know what the antidote to that is? Why not grow the Rural Rangers? And here's a word for me, okay, for what it's worth. No one, no pastor, no leader has a right to criticize the Boy Scouts if they don't have a boys' ministry in their own church. You know? How are we going to mentor the next generation? How are we going to mentor the next generation if we don't have men and women that are willing to take their time to mentor girls and boys? How are we going to do that? We've got to challenge this church to get off their duff and go to work. To laymen, to not think that their obligation is done if they attend a one-hour worship service and drop something in an offering envelope. We have got to challenge this generation, this adult generation, to do something. And we've got to challenge pastors, don't be lazy. Get your people to work. And let the Holy Spirit convict you if you don't have a boys program and if you don't have a girls program. You should be convicted for that omission, which is critical if we're going to save this next generation. So that's from my heart, okay?
So do you agree we have support from the top? Now, just in case any of you want to stop by the booth and ask for that, they've been given strict instructions not to release that. We're not releasing that at all, but we did want to share that with you. Dr. Wood said we could share that here, but we obviously don't want that getting into the wrong places, so we're not going to be releasing that. But certainly, I wanted you to hear his heart, and I do want to follow up with a few comments. Number one, you and I are probably not in a good position to tell pastors to get off their duff. It may make us feel good, but what's probably going to produce the greatest results will be relationship. So build relationships with pastors. Again, that's the responsibilities of every one of us. Second thing I'd like to say is we are praying, and I hope you are praying, that the Boy Scouts will uphold their ban. I believe that is the right thing for them. It's the right thing for America. So let's pray to that end. Second thing I'd like to say in regard to the Boy Scouts is our aim is not to proselytize, if I can use that word, troops, scoutmasters, scouts, anyone. But to the degree they approach us, we absolutely will be helpful in answering their questions. We sent out an email about a month ago addressing this to you district directors, and we're not going to add to that statement any more than we have, but any comments that come from anyone in Rural Rangers about this decision the Boy Scouts are considering, either before the decision comes or after the decision, we want the one voice to always be the National Rural Rangers website on this matter. We don't want, and Dr. Wood does not want, the Assemblies of God or Royal Rangers to become embroiled in a sideshow that we have nothing to do with. And so to that end, when he makes a statement or he asks someone else to make a statement on behalf of the Assemblies of God or Royal Rangers, we will post it there, and that will be the only place that such a comment will come from. So if you are asked by the media or anyone to make a statement about Royal Rangers and this decision, then simply refer them to the website. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Just let it speak for itself. Can we do that? And that way we will be speaking as one voice, as one man, and we will, avoid getting pulled into something that we don't want to be pulled into unnecessarily. We have taken some steps to prepare for this and the outcome, regardless of the decision. One of them is we built the outpost locator. How many of you have noticed that on the national website? Hope you will be able to take advantage of that and link to it from your district websites. And I hope that you will be able to leverage it as a chartering benefit, because that's the only way for your outpost to appear on that outpost locator is if they are chartered. So a great benefit to chartering. So again, I believe that we are positioned for growth. Amen? We have the support. We've done the work. And I believe the Lord is going before us, and as we follow Him, I believe He will position us to grow more than we ever have before. Amen? So let me just conclude with a simple question. What's your vision for 2020? We say hindsight is 2020, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can look into the future with 2020. What is your dream and your vision for your outpost for 2020? That's just 8 years, 6, 7 years away. Why can't we dream for 10, 15 years from now to be a million strong? Why not? We're doing the work for it. So it's not a pipe dream if we will follow the Lord, and I believe that He will lead us, and He will grow us, and He will strengthen us, and He will make us everything that He's dreamed of. I don't believe the best days for Royal Rangers are behind us. I believe they're before us. Amen? So as Steve, our national training coordinator, comes to talk to us about the develop priority, let's just bow our heads and our hearts for just a moment and just invite him to give us clarity of what he's going to be doing in Royal Rangers in the years ahead and prepare us for the growth that he has in store for us. Heavenly Father, we believe that when we ask you to grow this ministry, we're not asking for something selfish, but we're asking for something that will benefit your kingdom. So I'm asking for your anointing and for your leadership on each and every one of the district leaders and regional leaders in this room. Help all of us to be able to build the connections and sell this vision to churches and connections with pastors. Lord, we pray for favor and we pray for your help. In the name of Jesus, help us grow this Royal Rangers ministry and help us to develop leaders, I pray, in the name of Jesus. These men and women that you have called and empowered for this ministry, we ask it in your name. In Jesus' name.